morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about 28 to 30 minutes today as part of our spotlighting those people that are running for public office. And this is a very important election. While there's no president or no governor or whatever, this is a local election for our city council and our school committee. Directly affects us. So we've been inviting all the people on, and so far it's been very successful. And today I have with me a wonderful man. He's going to introduce himself. He's a good-looking guy like myself. Has a little more hair, but what are you going to do? Mr. Berger, hit it.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you having me on the program. A little more hair maybe, but probably a few more miles too.
Well, I don't know. I've been around the world a couple times, so please introduce and tell us about yourself. That's as important as anything.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm important at all, but my name is Jeff Berger. I'm in my 47th year as an educator. My first job was as a special education paraprofessional at what was then John C. Crosby Junior High. Yeah. Went to Egremont, went to South Junior High before it was Herberg. So my Pittsfield roots are pretty deep. When I left Pittsfield, I had a chance to go all over. So I have been from coast to coast to coast. My last gig was as principal of the alternate school serving the North Slope of Alaska.
Wow.
So I've done paraprofessional, substitute teacher, long-term substitute teacher, teacher of about 10 different subjects, department head, division head, assistant principal, and 12 years as a head of school myself. So in terms of being on the hot seat, and I think school committee definitely counts for that, during COVID, I was up north and I chaired my community's COVID committee.
Oh.
Which I really don't recommend if you want an easy life.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So that's a father of three sons and a grandfather to two grandsons.
Well, there you go. Well, we have one thing in common. I have two grandsons. So I've done a pretty much. I was in Alaska several times with the government and found it to be a beautiful place to visit but not live. That was my take.
I think it depends on where you are.
Yeah.
But the Arctic has a beauty all its own. And for any of our viewers and listeners who are thinking about going, I would say go now while there's still an Arctic to go to.
Yeah.
The changes are terrifying.
Yeah, it is a beautiful state and a beautiful place. I just don't like the cold. I have to ask you this. You kind of danced around it. You come right out and said it, but you have a lot of talent and experience. Why did you choose to run for public office now at this time?
Well, I'm retired, so I have the ability to do that. You know that a school committee member cannot be an employee of the school district.
Right.
So it does mean an end to substitute teaching and pinch hitting, which I have been doing.
Yeah.
There are lots of challenges that are facing the district right now, and my belief is that I can do more good for more people for a longer period by working at this end, at the school committee end, than simply being in a classroom.
Wow, well, that's interesting. And you bring a ton of experience with you. I mean, that you've articulated that very well. And I think that's a plus, and I have to be careful. But there are a lot of wonderful people running for school committee, and their hearts are in the right place. And I applaud everybody for doing it, and I thank them. But what specific experience, because you've been one, do you bring that you will add to this committee should you get elected?
I think probably the biggest plus for me that would differentiate me from a field of really pretty superb candidates.
Yes.
Is that I've been inside the Pittsfield Public Schools as a participant and particularly as a secondary school educator. So I've been in, of our four secondary schools, I've taught in three. And it's Secondary school is a different breed of cat than elementary schools. And through the last iteration of our district administration, we've been pretty heavily weighted to elementary educators.
Yes.
So I think bringing a slightly new perspective, not new, but a different set of concerns to the table may be very useful. And I think anybody who's been in the system is also aware of where things have gone bump in the night. Because as a district, we present a unified face to the rest of the community. We're all on the same page. We're all rowing in the same direction. But behind the curtain, not everything is as smooth as all of that.
Right.
And I have not heard or seen some of the concerns that I know are very real in the schools that have been publicly articulated. And I think one of our responsibilities is to do that. So, at the risk of talking too much,
No, I think you're what people want to know you. That's why I do these.
well, so the school committee really has three jobs. One is to do whatever we can do to clear away obstacles and lay the groundwork for Dr. Phillips, for the superintendent, to be successful.
Right.
We have got to be the superintendent's biggest booster, greatest source of support, and her bulwark against the political storms that are bound to come with her job. That's job one for us. Job two, though, at the same time, we need to hold the district administration to account. When they do something that's not in the best interest of the Pittsfield Public Schools or our constituents, we're the only people in a position to call them on it. So accountability has been a buzzword since the passage of that wretched No Child Left Behind Act, which has created all kinds of issues for educators all over the country. But accountability for district administration has been a little thin on the ground. So that's part of
Okay.
that is the responsibility of the school committee. And then the third is we need to be the honest brokers for every one of the constituencies. And there are a lot. So parents and students, of course, paraprofessionals, kitchen staff, bus drivers, teachers, of course, but also the taxpayers of the city of Pittsfield. So we need to be out there mindful of all the special considerations of each of the constituencies and trying to balance interests that are sometimes competing interests.
Yes.
And hence the role of honest brokers, sort of weighing the different issues that can buffet a district administration and help Dr. Phillips find her way through all of the pratfalls.
Well, it sounds as though that's an excellent strategy and an excellent plan. And you're right. Let me ask you kind of semi-personal question, and I haven't asked a lot of other people that are running for school committee. What really dramatic changes have you seen from when you started to today? And
Oh,
I only have 28 minutes, so.
yeah.
But the high points, and here's why I ask. Many years ago, I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program. And I'm going to say 95, it was probably 98, but 95% had IEPs. I would say 90% of them never had the IEP implemented as it was written. But the other piece that struck me was you nailed it. No Child Left Behind. I had kiddos with high school diplomas that were reading on a second and third grade, fourth grade level, and doing math on a second and third grade level.
That still happens. It's still very much a concern. But your first question was why now?
Yeah.
A big part of the why now has to do with the end of MCAS. I'm very unhappy with the way that particular referendum was written because
Okay.
it left MCAS in place without holding students accountable for their performance on MCAS. So I'm all for getting rid of it. But at this point, I'm concerned that it may be a weapon used against teachers to say, well, your students aren't doing well on MCAS. It doesn't affect them. They've got nothing at stake, but now we are going to judge you by those student results. So what DESE has done, DESE is the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, but everybody in the business simply calls it DESE. What DESE has done is shift the burden to the districts to say, now what? How are you going to judge whether or not a student has earned a high school diploma. And that has to be job number one, even ahead of new construction for us. Here's our window of opportunity to figure out how a student can earn a Pittsfield Public Schools diploma and come out with that diploma and the skills that says to a particular employer, I can sign my name, I can read, I can read technical specifications, all those different things that we hope we do. I can make change. Things that we would have taken for granted back for those of us who were born when Eisenhower was president can remember. There's a lot that we need to take into consideration, including the fact that students had an enormous disruption during COVID.
Yes.
All kinds of things have changed. Pittsfield has changed. We're no longer the GE town with
Right.
a higher SAS than anybody west of Lexington. All of those things represent an enormous and immediate challenge to the Pittsfield Public Schools. And that's why, I think for me, the time to get involved and see if I can be part of the answer to a lot of questions is now.
Let me ask you, this is a question that's been asked to everybody. In your opinion, what do you believe are the most urgent concerns that need to be addressed in the Pittsfield school system?
How many do I get?
Well, as many as you can get, and we only end up 28 minutes. There you go.
I think one of the most important things right now is student accountability. We've danced all around it. We make excuses for people. We wave magic wands to get them through. We have to stop that. We absolutely have to stop that. So I think that's number one, figuring out how we can hold students accountable. And part of that, and I don't want to make this a longer answer than you're expecting, is I'm concerned, being a secondary guy, that we're sending students to high school who do not have the skills to be successful in high school. And yet DESE will judge our district
Yes.
by how successful our high school is. So we are setting our high schools up for a very difficult task of bringing students suddenly up to speed when they're entering school as a deficit. So I
Right.
think that's job one. And I suppose 1B is when we have a policy, we should enforce it. When we say to a student, if you don't pass for your four core classes, you're not eligible to come back in the next grade, and mean it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we have been very consistent about applying the rules that we've set down in black and white. So, student accountability, number one. Number two is forging the path forward. This is a unique opportunity because DESE has thrown this now in our lap. We should take the ball and run with it. So, we have Portrait of a Graduate already launched. That may be our hook into all of this, maybe not. But those sorts of charting the way forward. And I would include the reorganization of the middle schools as part of that. I'd love to see when we go to 7 and 8 and read, have an 8B in read, where if you're an eighth grader and you've not passed your classes, you don't get to go to Taconic. You're going to redo grade 8 and prove you've got the skills.
Yeah.
So I think that needs
I
to be
don't
part
think
of
that,
the
I don't think
conversation.
stuff like that is crazy. I think stuff like that is needed.
Well, we'll see, monsieur. I think the third is if you look at our facilities, we do need that new school, no
Oh.
question. I mean, Conti and Crosby have done their mile, but
Yeah.
they're not the only schools where deferred maintenance is an issue.
Yes.
We've got some amazing teachers, some absolutely top-flight students who can compete with anybody anywhere. Would you want your kid going to Pittsfield High? For the students, absolutely. For the teachers, absolutely. For the building, not so much. The environment in which our students go to class and in which our educators work needs some TLC. And that involves a partnership with City Council, with the Department of Public Works, because the responsibility for facilities does not rest exclusively with the school committee.
That's
We
right.
need to work with other partners and make some progress. So I think those would probably be my top three. And in fourth place, we don't have a good situation with human resources. We don't do a good job with retention. When we lose teachers, we don't know why we lose them. We're having trouble attracting them in a shrinking pool. It's not true that teachers aren't out there. What is true is that we are not able to compete with other districts for the teachers that are out there. And we need to change how we do that. So that'll certainly keep the committee busy for a couple of years.
Your meetings bring a lunch before you go to your meeting. No, but I applaud you for those because they're solid. They're not, pie in the sky. They're doable and they're necessary, and we need to take action. From my old background, most of the ones that I had failed in school. And became, as one kid said to me when I interviewed them all coming in, he said, I'm a behavioral problem. I said, not here. Not here. But I guess I hear you, and I really think that you bring a lot to the table. I will say this, another canned question. If elected, would you be willing to serve as an officer or committee chair?
I think if you're on the committee, you've got to be prepared to play those roles. Yes.
Okay.
I've done the COVID chair thing. I know how to do it. I know it's involved. But I would also say that there are six people on that committee, and the six people should pick the committee chairs and the president, the chairman of the or the chairperson of the council that seems to fit the majority best.
Right.
It's not a pick me, it's who's best for the role given the people that are around the table. And I'd like to just a shout out to
Sure.
Dr. Cameron and to Mr. Garrity, who have taken the two, and the heavy lifting that they have done has been pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
I am sorry to see them choose to leave the school committee, and I honor the contributions that they've made.
And I will dovetail and agree 100% with you and say to Mr. Garrity, you have a brilliant future. You for someone your age, you're mature beyond your years, as they used to say. I don't know if they still say that, but I'm old.
Well, they never said it to me.
No, trust me. Me, I was in the high school part of the high school class that made the top half look good. So, how many hours a week, and you know this so well, how many hours a week will you be able or feel you can contribute to being on the school committee?
Well, this is the
You know
advantage
what
of
the
being.
job is.
Yes, it's the advantage of being retired is that I can go to the schools. Now, remember that I'm a recovering principal. A school committee member can't be a loose cannon.
Right.
I mean, you touch base, you check in, you don't blindside people, you make appointments, you get the permission of the building principal. Is this a good day to come in? There's a lot of protocol that needs to be honored when you're an elected member of a school committee. I think the school committee that we have right now, the members have done a great job going to special events that we've been, they have been present. The kids have seen them. The parents know they're out there. That's all very valuable. I think what I would like to do is go on ordinary work days
Oh,
and see the school as it operates and talk to teachers and talk to principals in camera to find out, are there issues that are bubbling below the surface that maybe we can help with.
that's and again, I think that's an approach that I'm sure many of the teachers will embrace, and principals. They don't like people just showing up. I've heard, my wife was a teacher for 42 years. So, but I've heard, colleagues say they just show up at the door unannounced, and that's just not fair. But I mean, I'm a big person for being fair. I want to kind of loop back a little bit with the restructuring of the middle schools that, basically, I'm a junior high guy. I went to North Junior High. And I just as today I was talking with someone, about we had home ec, we had shop, we had all these different things, life skills, and I wonder if they're going to bring those back to the new whatever it's going to be.
Well, I think space is something that has been already claimed. So I made the same case down at Herberg because when I was at South Junior High, we had shop, we had welding, we had home ec. I was driven to distraction for years because they turned those spaces into storerooms. But now apparently they've invested in exercise equipment and they've been co-opted into the physical education program. I can't speak for Reed because I've not been out there to ask the question. But if you look at, say, Taconic has a honkin' CTE program. I mean, Taconic is on our pride and joy, although I don't want to diss PHS by saying that. One of the issues we have at Taconic is that freshmen are going through all of the different CTE modules to see which ones they like.
I like that.
Well, what I would love to see is to have them do that in grade eight.
Oh, good
Put
point.
those, bring those back to the middle schools, although in this case, it would be bring them back to read. Do your sampling when you're in grade eight so that when you come to the high school, you're already focused on the CTE of choice, or you've reduced it to maybe three that you're sampling from in that freshman year. We see that a number of students will be, especially early in their career, really aren't sure that this is what they want to do.
Right.
Well, okay, the earlier we begin to sift the options, I think that the better.
That's an excellent point. And like I said, I've never been a big middle school supporter. I think because I was a junior high person, there's a big gap between maturity at sixth grade and maturity at seventh grade. I'm speaking for myself. Of course, there are people who will argue you never grew up, so I don't know if that's all bad. As far as this seems to be a buzz thing around the city now, and I'll ask you because of your experience, and you kind of alluded to it. There are those people who want the mayor to be the chairperson of the school committee. What's your take?
Be careful what you wish for. I think that in this day and age, we are seeing the consolidation of executive power is not necessarily a great thing. Now, right now, maybe we want our current mayor to be the chair of the school committee. He can be if the school committee elects him as the chair. So there's no bar to the mayor being the chair.
Oh,
But to
that's
put
good.
in the city charter that the mayor must be the chair is, I think, a mistake, particularly because there are so many calls on the time and attention of the mayor. You to be a full-time chair of the school committee is a beast of a job. Just ask Dr. Cameron. Is there enough of the mayor to go around with all the other things that we have going on in the city of Pittsfield that are his responsibility? If we get an education to devoted mayor, and the committee says, yeah, you're the person we want right now, we can still do that. But I don't think we should cast it in stone.
That's a very logical and I think an excellent explanation of why not to. If they want the mayor to be the chairperson, they can elect the mayor the chairperson.
Absolutely.
This particular mayor is all into education, but I think your valid points, and it also to me, and I could you can correct me. To me, it's trying to be Samson and split the baby. You know, you're the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. You got the council you have to answer to. And now you're the chairperson of the school committee, and the council's battling you for the budget that you approved. So I think I see some hidden dangers.
I would agree with all of that. Yes.
So, before you're gonna a couple more minutes and then you'll have your closing statement, but if you get elected, You've already kind of articulated it, but I want you to, what your primary focus, because I've heard it from others too. What would be your, and to me, and if I'm wrong, jump all over me because everybody else does. No, really, I feel like sometimes I feel like a trampoline. Student-centered. That's what I heard you say. It's got to be, and if some kiddo's not making it, it's not a punishment to keep him back.
No, there is a difference between meeting someone's needs, supporting a student who requires support, and waving a magic wand and giving a free pass. And I think that there are a number of my colleagues, certainly in the secondary level, who are concerned that we are graduating students who do not have the skills that the rest of the world expects a high school graduate to have. We've already started down the road of Portrait of a Graduate. I would love to see academic competency be considered first and foremost among all the attributes that a Pittsfield Public School graduate has. But it also means that if you don't show up for the first quarter, we don't give you free points because you were on the roll.
That's right.
You didn't go to school and you didn't do that. That should be a zero. And yeah, you've dug yourself one heck of a hole. Get out of it. It's on you to do that. We'll help.
One of the things I learned with these violent youthful offenders was they did not comprehend the concept of accountability and consequences. You didn't go to school, you're not going to pass. There it is. In today's day and age, people are going to say we're mean and we're this and we're that. No, it doesn't help somebody if you let them continually make the same mistakes in, with no consequence.
Well, I also don't think that we should be selling a bill of goods to our partners at BCC, for example, are giving tuition-free education for lots of Pittsfield students and finding that they assign an essay and the student in their class can't write an essay. Well, okay, that's a problem. And we should be addressing it at our end. But again, I think it doesn't just, it's not because the high schools aren't busting their behinds. It is, we need to have accountability all the way along the line. One last thing, if I could just sort of stick it in on you, Bill. My sense of public education in general is that districts are running scared of the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, which has gone all in on statistical modeling. We had a disciplinary issue that I was involved in where we were told you suspend too many students. And I asked, which of the suspensions was not justified? And the reply was, it doesn't matter. The statistics don't lie. Right. So, well, exactly. That's exactly right.
Talking to an old cop. So
So,
just
we are running on, we're running scared of DESE instead of, in my view, doing what we need to do for our students, even if that involves tough love.
I would like to give you it because I like take 3 minutes and tell us why, tell the people why they should vote for you.
Well, I'd like to earn your vote, but by earning it, I mean I'd like to bring a skill set that may not be as well represented on the school committee as we'd like right now. It involves experience from kindergarten all the way through masters of education. I've taught teachers working on their masters at two separate universities. So I've got the whole scale. I've even volunteered as a volunteer debate coach in a Muslim school. So I've got it's the background is diverse, as our student population is diverse. And as we look forward to meeting the challenges that are coming down the road, there will be book challenges like we saw down county. We're going to have issues. We know we're going to have issues with immigration. There are those unanticipated challenges I think ask for people who have been around the block a little. And I don't think everybody has to be. But of the six people that we are going to choose, I think I would bring a skill set that's not an unusual skill set, a diverse skill set, and a perspective that may not be a perspective that everybody else has. And that sort of diversity gives strength in the context of a committee like the school committee. I know that there are some terrific people running,
Right.
and I hope that those terrific people all get seats, and I'd like to join them.
Well, I thank you for coming on this show. I would like you to just, after I sign off, just sit there for a minute. I'll share something I'd like to share with you personally. All right. If you heard this spiel before, I'm not going to continue to ask you. Get out and vote. The Michelle Benjamin and her whole team up there. I have made it so easy to vote in the city of Pittsfield. It's unbelievable. But then there's this, you know, Mike's thing. Don't vote, don't gripe. Thank you. Thanks, Jeffrey, for coming on. We'll see you when we see you. Take care. Bye bye.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio. 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
The Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention recognizes that everyone has a role at saving lives. Through ongoing discussion and education, we may be able to recognize the warning signs and understand how to confidently address the subject of suicide in order to save lives. It takes just one person to offer hope and save a life. Contact the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention at berkshirecoalition.org for more information.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. And as you know, we have been interviewing candidates running for public office, the school committee and the city council. Today, I'm honored and privileged to have with me someone who was on the school committee, and I had a have a great deal of respect for her and her performance on the school committee and her personally. Her name is Sarah Hathaway. I think she's taken total leave of her census, but I've already told her that, and she's running for the city council. So, Sarah, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, I wish you the – I say this to everybody running, and I mean it, really mean it from my heart. I thank you for throwing your hat in the ring, anybody running for public office today. And I also wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. I enjoy this. I don't know why I got this bug early in life, but, you know, from third grade student council,
wow.
I've just always really enjoyed being part of the policy discussions and how
That's
do we,
great.
Yeah.
It's yeah, well,
fun.
Believe me, some of those discussions at the city, they go on. I go to bed and watch it the next morning on TV. But first of all, why have you decided to run for the school, the city council, rather than the school committee?
Well, I bought myself a hat that says I'm on a side quest because my real interest now, my passion is education. And I think you know that. I've just really clicked with kind of the issues that we're seeing in the schools. And I feel as if the people who are working there are so worthy of our support. They're just working so hard and they have so many challenges. And that doesn't mean that the municipal side isn't working hard too, but I just really felt a connection there, especially after my years of teaching. And so the places where schools and the municipal side, to use that, you know, to coin a term, where they intertwine with each other, a lot of it's budget. And this past year we saw, I told you earlier, what I considered to be people crossing the line and getting into, here's how we want you to run the schools. And it's not appropriate for the city council to invade that space. We have really qualified professional administrators who've been carefully selected. And we have an elected school committee, which is recognized in state law as the policymaking body for the schools. And so I felt like better communication was one of the solutions so that we don't have that kind of overstepping. But I also understand the city councilors were hearing from their constituents, and I want to be able to have those conversations so that if they say, you know, we had 15 people call us and tell us they want us to cut your budget, I can be at the table and say, let's dig into that and find out where the concerns are coming from. And certainly questions are appropriate. It's just, you can't tell the schools how to then spend their money.
And I think sometimes too, from my point of view, I mean, I have people calling up, they want to come on because they want to complain. But then when you say to them, well, do you have the facts?
Right.
Well, no, but so-and-so said, and I was talking to what's her name at the coffee shop. And then, so, I mean, I invite anybody. I have people on this program I probably wouldn't have a coffee with, but they have a right to be on. But you also can't just come on ill-prepared.
Yeah.
And accusatory. I mean, I can remember many years ago, a person used to come on, and this one day was just out of line accusing the mayor, the then mayor, not now. Yeah. All kinds of things that I knew were malarkey. So, but I applaud you for that. I applaud you for trying to be a bridge.
Well, and, you know, I shouldn't make it sound like I'm a Johnny One Note either. It's not all about schools. My background included, I was an affordable housing planner when I moved to Massachusetts. And, you know, you would ask housing advocates, if you compared the Weld administration or the Cellucci administration to the Dukakis administration, you know, and the Dukakis administration was a 10 for housing, where would you put housing under Weld and Cellucci? And the housing advocates said, can we use negative numbers? So the housing programs, when I came to Massachusetts, were a 10. And now they fell, and we're trying to build them back up again. And Pittsfield needs to be at the front of the line to get some of that state help for housing. We have so many needs. Our housing stock is old. We need more of it. We need it modernized. We need special supportive housing for people who are having problems. And I would love to be, you know, to bring that expertise and that experience and address one of the bigger issues that's facing the city. You know, we've seen other issues around mental health supports. And I just had a really moving conversation with some people at the Breen Center about the work they're doing. And I'd love to, you know, it's kind of exciting to see a bigger kind of buffet of issues to address. I'll still have my heart with the schools, but, you know, a lot of the problems with, as you pointed out, the students, they they bring their problems to the school. And if they haven't been fed that day, or if someone at home is in crisis, or if their housing is unstable, those things all affect the outcomes for learning and the other people in the classroom. So let's address the root causes, and then it will be better for the schools as well.
I also think, I'm glad that we're having this interview, because you also brought out something that I think more than qualifies you to be a part of the council, and that you are a housing planner. Yeah. I mean, right now you can watch the meetings, the endless meetings, and and we are, it's been years that we've really not paid attention to housing.
Yeah.
You know, Mayor Tyre got those grants to help fix houses up and things like that. And some of the criticism of that were just shameful to me. You know, why not help people? Why you always got to try to push people down?
I think it's going to help everybody. She wasn't just creating housing, but she really tapped into the community, and she worked with the experts. And, you know, you listen to the people over at the Lutheran Church about how that deal was put together, and it was just so complicated and so layered. And they, you know, a lot of really dedicated people, professionals at City Hall, as well as politicians, got together and said, let's make this work. So I give a lot of credit to Linda, and I'm really excited to see those coming online. There are some other things coming online. I had a good conversation with the Community Development Department a couple of weeks ago, and it's all exciting, but it's not enough. We got to keep going. We need more.
and we also, and you touched on this, and we also need to recruit, go out and recruit through salary, or I don't know, probably salary is the best shot at doing it. And that is, we got to get some mental health people here.
Yeah.
I mean, the Breen and a lot of those places, they're just overloaded.
Yes. And it's a nationwide shortage.
Yes.
It's not just Western Mass. It's not just Pittsfield. And the schools are having this problem too. Excuse me.
You bet.
But we need social workers. BCC has a program now where they're training up social workers, and that will help. But I think, you know, when you were in the law enforcement community, how many social workers were on the police force?
None.
Probably none. And now we need more. And our police officers have recognized that it benefits their work to have social workers. One of the things I discussed with the Breen experts is peer response. Some communities are using peer response, and it, you know, it's beneficial if somebody approaches you who understands what it's like to be homeless.
Right.
You're more likely to open up to them, or somebody who has recovered from addiction. You're more likely to open up to them than, you know, the guy in the blue uniform.
Yeah.
But it's also, in addition to being this practical connection, it's a necessity now because there aren't enough licensed psychologists and social workers. So maybe we expand that peer network somehow. There are models in other communities, I think, Greenfield and Northampton and some of the other cities around Massachusetts have been using that. So we just need to see, can we apply that in more areas? They're using it already, but, you know, any port in a storm, right?
Well, and here's a wacky one. You want a wacky one?
Sure.
They have physical therapy assistants.
Oh, yeah.
Occupational therapy assistants. Yeah. Why can't we have social workers assistants?
Well, they do some training with students they have to have a certain number of hours in the field. So we do get a number of those, but then they go off and they open their own offices. Yeah. And, you know, there's more lucrative ways to be a social worker.
Yeah.
So, but they're, you know, it's one of those things where once you sit down with them and you start asking questions, they say, yeah, we're already doing that. We're doing that. Yep. got that. You know, they're on top of it because they're so good and they've been doing this for so long. And so it's another situation. It felt very much to me when I was talking to the Breen people. It felt like talking to school people because they're so good at what they do.
And
but it's also just, it saps their souls because the work is often so sad, you know.
You're 100% correct, and it's so sad. And again, you know, one of the next questions is, what do you think the biggest challenges for the city will be over the next 2 years? Well, we've named two of them. Yeah. I think it's your show, but I think mental health and housing, homelessness, dealing with that, they're certainly major issues.
One day I went through all of the state, you know, each year they would put a little corner piece of data on the poverty level in a school district. But they didn't have one page that had, here's the poverty level for this district. So I went through and I took that figure from each page, each year of data for the Pittsfield School District. And you could just see the poverty level growing every year.
Every year.
And so the loss of the middle class jobs here, you and I have seen it over the years, you know, Beloit Jones and KB Toys and all these businesses that have gone with the wind. GE, of course. And those were fantastic jobs that you could support a family. And so now we need to figure out, what does the job market look like that we want for ourselves? How do we prosper? And it's going to be different. It's not going to be GE. We're not going to have a transformer plant coming to Pittsfield, but it could be, you know, building on our theater district. A lot of people will come to the Berkshires, you know, and why don't we build on that and say, if you're coming to the Berkshires for that kind of tourism, what would it look like to have a wedding destination here? You know, I would want those mountains in the backgrounds of my wedding photos, you know, and you could make some new attractions work. And of course, when I was at City Hall, I would always say, make it attractive for the people who live here, and then the tourists will find you.
That's right.
But maybe we need to find both. We need to do both.
I have one for you. Here's what I want you to do while you're there. If you should get elected, take Building 100, that humongous, beautiful, free-flowing building, and turn it into a sound stage.
Ooh, oh, that's great.
That's been my dream, that they would do that. Right around the corner from me, Rocco Sisto lives. He has a home here, an apartment in New York City, in Greenwich Village. But he spends a majority of his time here, right? And a lot of other, there's all kinds of really famous actors spread out throughout, you know, Berkshire County, and directors and writers. And to me, that building and the ambiance of Pittsfield rather than New York.
I love it.
The cost of Pittsfield rather than New York.
How many sound stages would have a train track already built through it, right?
Yeah, right there. And not only that, but how many free flow, you can build your own theater.
Yeah. Are you a Star Trek fan? I'm a Star Trek fan, and they would always go on the holodeck. And there would be these, you know, whole new worlds they could go into.
Yeah, that's this. And I mean, only a portion of it's being used, I believe, by Sabic, but the rest of it's empty. And, I'd be out trying to pedal that bad boy quickly. As I told people, I said, why don't you run for, and as I said, I'm 78 years old. I don't run for things. I run from things.
But not very fast.
Not very fast. No, stumpity stump with my cane. But what, other than those two, do you see any other issues pertaining? Now, we just read in the paper a big, big cut to, $560 million coming from the federal government.
Yeah, that's the other the elephant in the room, as they say. And I think that was already affecting our state funding. I've been working with a group that is trying to expand and improve pre-K options for the little guys.
Yeah.
And we were expecting a grant of $500,000, and they sent us an email saying, surprise, $250,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole thing had been designed around this larger effort. And we believe that, you know, they won't give you a complete explanation, but we believe it was cut because they're trying to hold back some state money just in case the federal stuff is cut. And they just can't give you a straight answer right now. And that's really affecting us and affecting all kinds of programs. And it's you know, I'm just, today is the day that WIC ran out for some people. And I'm just, it's killing me, you know, that it's basic stuff that people need.
And I have to say this as a criminal justice practitioner. If you cut Head Start, you better build more facilities. Because as Carmen Massimiano, God rest his soul, used to say, you can pay me now or you can pay me later, but you're going to pay me.
Yeah.
And some of the, if you are familiar, and not you, but the audience, if you're familiar with all the good that Head Start does and all the research backing up preschool for kiddos entering kindergarten, it's amazing.
I think the state has really recognized that, and they've, this will appeal to a lot of your people who love to see the private sector as part of the solution. They've created what they're calling partnerships, Commonwealth Pre-K Partnership Initiative, and they're getting the private daycare provider, pre-K providers, to work with the public school system. So the grant comes through the public school system, but others are part of this network, and they work on professional development for their staff. And there's ways of evaluating classroom practices. They're going to examine the curriculum. And initially they said you have to all choose the same curriculum, but then they realized some people would not join if they had that requirement. So they said you can have your own curriculum, but it has to meet these standards. So it's really what they say in the basketball lingo, they say up your game, you know, it's upping the game for everybody to have this new partnership. And I think it's exciting too, because people who work in the pre-K field are usually, you know, just cleaning up sticky hands, but now they get to get together with their professional colleagues and share some professional development and share some stories probably from the field. And it's an exciting development across the Commonwealth.
And I also think too that when we talk about these things, we have to be able to discuss them.
Yes.
We not yell at each other or scop attitudes or whatever, because these are, they're not easy solutions. I get, sometimes I have to just shake my head and bite my tongue, because when I, well, this homeless thing, just get them an apartment. Okay. Well, first of all, there's a lot of other issues with homelessness. Yeah, but get them an apartment first and then they'll be fine. Maybe, but maybe we need to look at the person, not the, just the circumstance. Look at the person.
Yeah.
But I was told very recently, get off your, what is it, salt box or whatever?
Soap box.
Soap box. Yeah, it was some kind of a box. And because just build housing. And that, they taught me, and I want you to remember this going into city council.
Okay.
And just in the event, you may need it. I was taught at police academy, you can't have a legitimate discussion with a fool or a drunk. So, and I found through my career, that's pretty true. But I not that people are fools, but sometimes some of the stances they make on something they saw worse. Never mind television. They read it on the internet.
It's gotta be true.
Hey, go ahead. It's your show.
Well, I was just gonna say the housing that's going in on West Housatonic.
Yeah.
It's called supportive housing. And back when I started as a housing planner, they used to talk about single room occupancy housing.
Yeah.
But this is not just single room occupancy. It's supportive housing. It has those social work support.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be just, here's a clean bed, get your life together. It's, you know, here's some counseling on addiction, yeah, or here's some counseling on how to get a job. And it also is going to have a 2-year limit for that housing. So that's a good long time for people to kind of get themselves pulled together.
Exactly. Exactly.
And get those services.
And again, I repeat myself, but look at the person first.
Yeah.
Not the situation. The situation is caused by a variety of things. It's an old cop. I can tell you, I used to walk midnight shift and have 6 or 8 people that I would meet on the beat at 2 a.m. because they wanted to talk.
Yeah. You probably knew them better than almost anyone.
Yes, I did.
And I think we're seeing that still. You know, I want to make sure people understand, I don't think our police department wants to be the bad guy in this situation. They see these people. They know that these people are vulnerable. They can't protect their possessions because they're living outside.
Yep.
And they may have given up pets. They, you know, lost touch with families. And the police department wants to see them go somewhere safe. But they don't want to be the ones to say, move along, just for, you know, it doesn't solve the problem. Like you say, you have to solve the problem. Find
a lot of people don't realize there's 2 sides, protect and serve.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we're going to run out of time here. You and I are having a great time. What do you think the, we've talked about the challenges. What's the most rewarding part of being in public service? You've had years on a school committee and other places. What's the reward for it?
I think when you solve a problem, you know that someone's life is going to get better.
Yeah.
In the public sector. And, you know, I'm on the negotiating subcommittee for the schools now. And
yeah.
That's one of the big differences between city council and the school committee. The school committee actually negotiates the contracts for the unions and votes on them. And when we came to an agreement with one of the unions and you can reach across the table and shake someone's hand, you know they're going to get a raise.
Yeah.
And they've solved some problem involving, you know, what they do on their planning period, you know, and their day is going to change because you worked it out with their union. And you know, there's little things too, where you see, one of my favorite stories was a little girl who came up to a table at, you know, they were out promoting something for the schools. And this little 3-4-year-old girl came up and said, I'm just starting pre-K in a couple of weeks and I'm so excited. And I saw this little face and she was just beaming because school was her dream and she couldn't wait to get there. And you know, the pre-K director was there at the table and she was wonderful with her because she was a former pre-K teacher, as you value that experience.
I do.
But those kinds of moments where you know you've helped somebody's life and you've changed the way their day is going to be, that's a wonderful reward for being in the public sector.
Sarah Hathaway is running to be a counselor at large. And in a minute, I'm going to give her about 4 minutes to tell us why we should vote for her. But I will say this in her behalf. I want to thank you for running. And I mean that. I want to thank you for running. And I wish you the best of luck.
Thank
because you. We need good people in these positions. And boy, looking at the candidates and interviewing several of them, we've got a wonderful group of people. And this is an important election to us. Because this, of all the elections, this is the one that sets our taxes, to educates our kiddos.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice that you're going to vote for a president, and we all need to do that. But we also need to vote for people who have direct influence on our life. Sarah, it's your show.
I didn't know you were going to just open the floor.
Yeah.
I'm really privileged to have the time and the experience to run for public office. And I hope the voters will support me November 4th. I'm number 7 out of the 7 candidates on the ballot. So don't use up all your votes before you get to number 7. I believe I will bring good insights and wisdom to the city council. The housing experience, the state Senate aid experience, the teaching experience, not to mention 2 years in the corner office at City Hall, and now this school committee experience, which is very near and dear to my heart. So I hope people will look at that and say, this is a, you know, good value for the money. For the, you know, if we have to choose, let's get Sarah's experience and put that at the city council on Tuesday nights. And I will still be working, I hope, with a lot of the school projects that are underway. And as I say, building that bridge between the school district and the municipal side. We're going to have challenges on the budget, mostly because the state is being pressed by federal funding changes, but also because you can't get blood from a stone. And the city taxpayers are feeling pretty tapped out. I know we almost hit our levy limit, our ceiling, this year. And we're going to have to make some tough choices. We've given our employees raises, and they needed them and they deserved them. But that means that there's going to be some tough choices down the road, both on the city side and the school district. So I think my experience on the negotiating committee will help us now, because I can say I understand why those raises were granted, and I can defend those. But it's going to make it, we're still going to have hard choices. Let's just leave it there. Housing, as I say, a big priority. Mental health supports. And, you know, just let's make Pittsfield a great city to walk dogs and let kids play on the playgrounds and have fundraisers for our favorite causes for radio guys that we like.
Well, thank you for that. Sarah, best of luck. Again, thank you for running. Regardless of how the election, I know you're going to stay involved.
I am. Yes.
And so we'll catch up on other topics and bridges we have to build.
Okay.
Bless everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.